Amen. We just want to let God know that He deserves it. You have to worship something. You got to trust something. You got to believe in something. And God, You deserve the glory. You deserve the honor, God. You deserve 100% of our heart because You made us. You created us, Lord. We didn't create You. Some people try and create a God, but that's the God of their own understanding. But God, You created us. The true and living God created us, God. That's why. You deserve it. You deserve our glory. You deserve all of our praise. So we're so grateful and so thankful that we serve a true and living God that deserves the glory and all of our praise. Again, want to encourage you all to continue to be praying and fasting every Sunday morning. And then have your first meal after service. And then during the week, you wake up before you have your meal. Couple the praying and fasting together and watch the power of God transform your life like never before. So definitely want to thank you all for your giving. It allows us to preach the gospel, to touch lives all around the world, literally all around the world. We had our members meeting last week and a couple of the missionaries spoke and just showed how South Bay Abundant Life Church is touching lives all around the world. So I want to thank you for your giving. If you're on your laptop, just go to southbayalc.com, press the giving icon, and then give accordingly. If you're on your cell phone, southbayalc.com, go to giving, press the three bars, give accordingly. Or if you're still writing checks like me, you can make them payable to South Bay Abundant Life Church, SBALC, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279. Long Beach, California, 90807. Let me say that again. SBALC, make it payable to 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. This Wednesday night, we will be having Bible study. It is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So we'll have a Bible study. We will be in 1 Kings chapter 9. Please join us if you can. If you can't, that's perfectly fine. I do understand and respect that the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you may be spending time with your family, but we will be in and we'll be there and we'll open the link and maybe we'll have a prayer session. Maybe we'll have a testimony on the Thanksgiving and the goodness of God. But read 1 Kings chapter 9 and be prepared to discuss that as well. But we will check in Wednesday night for Bible study and just be thankful. It won't be long. We'll be thankful. We'll be grateful. And if you're enjoying time with your family, please do that and be thankful that you have family to fellowship with for Thanksgiving. Next Sunday, we will have a new members class. And so anyone interested in new members, please email us, life at southbayalc.com. And additionally, if you have a prayer request, prayer need, or praise report, please email us, life@southbayalc.com. And remember, praying and fasting, I can't stress it enough. There's an urgency to it. It's a lot going on in the world today. God, we need to hear from you. God, we have to stay close to you. Well, let's jump right into the word. Let's go on and pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Psalms 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp and a light. It illuminates the way, God, as we are trying to navigate our way through a dark, fallen, dead, decaying, and broken world. God, we need the light of your word. God, we need you more today than ever. We need your word more today than ever. We thank you for your word. Bless your word. Bless your people to hear, to receive your word, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, give us discernment. Let us study the scripture. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our mind today, God. Your word tells us how to live, how to forgive, how to think, how to act, how to love. It covers everything. Thank you that it's a blueprint for our life. And we need it today, God. Speak to us through your word. We're begging you now. Give us your wisdom. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and direct this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We will have a quick review of last week. And we discovered in the scriptures last week, as you're turning to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. So we discovered in scriptures last week, Jesus is at the right hand praying for us. We thank God for that. And Timothy 2 and 1, 1 Timothy 2 and 1, Paul is speaking to his young protege, his young understudy, his mentee, Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, I'm begging you, therefore, that first of all, first things first, first of all. So we would ask God, what do we do? God, the world seems to be falling apart. We don't so much uncertainty. We're in the midst of the pandemic. God, what do we do? God says, first of all, stop, pause, stop underestimating the power of prayer. First of all, first things first, that all supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. So make a point. What do we do first? The first thing we do is we should be praying for everyone. Make a note, praying for everyone. Making intercessions, which means we're standing in the gap for someone who can't pray for themselves or don't have the mind to pray for themselves or in an incapacitated state and they can't pray for themselves. And here we are. God is telling us, first off, the first thing you do, the most important thing, family, hear what the word is saying. The most important thing that we should be doing is praying for everyone. Friends, family, spouse, kids, that annoying, arrogant boss, coworker, praying for them. That kid that's out there wayward, praying for them. That kid that's in college, praying for them. That parent that is sick, praying for them. That parent that is healthy, praying for them. The siblings you haven't talked to in a while, praying for them first of all. We're talking to the body of Christ. We're talking to the mature body of Christ. God's saying we have to be praying, family. It's an urgency to it. It's an urgency. Just like Paul is talking to Timothy today, with so much going on, we have to discern the deception. And the only way we can discern the deception is getting wisdom from God, praying to God, begging and asking for wisdom from God. It's too much going on. So he tells him to pray and intercede and be thankful. Look what, underline that. He says, pray and giving thanks. Not only are we praying for everyone, but we are thankful for everyone. Oh my gosh. We're missing it. And he's talking to the body of Christ. He's not talking to the world. The world would never understand the power of the scriptures and the power of God. They'll never understand it as he told his disciples and the others that were there in Matthew 22, 29. He said, you're way off track. You've gone astray. You're sadly mistaken. And these are Jesus's words. He said, you're sadly mistaken because you don't understand the scriptures are the power of God. That's Matthew 22, 29. So this is talking to the mature believers. Stop underestimating the power of prayer and then the power of being thankful. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is every day. We don't wait for a day to be thankful. Every day is Thanksgiving. Read that. Let's read that again. I'm begging you, therefore, that first of all supplication, which is requests and prayers, intercession, standing in the gap and giving thanks, underline giving thanks. It's a lot of you that are praying, but you don't have a thankful heart. You don't have a grateful heart. You don't have a thankful, grateful mindset. And you got to be thankful and grateful, number one, that you can pray for others. What do I have to be thankful for? Let me tell you what you do have to be grateful and thankful for. Number one, that you have the opportunity to have an open heart to empathize and sympathize and have compassion for others and not just thinking about yourself. That's what you have to be thankful for. Number two, the privilege of prayer, that you are not in an incapacitated state, that you have the mind of Christ to pray for others. And then number three, you should be thankful that you have the intelligence to intercede for someone who don't even know that they need God, are in such a state that they can't even comprehend who God is. That's what you have to be thankful for. The opportunity for an open heart, the privilege to pray, the intelligence to intercede. That's what you and I have to be thankful for. That's why I said you pray and then you be thankful. And just like someone prayed for us, we should be praying for someone. So speaking of thanksgiving and being thankful, let's take a quick look at Philippians 4:8. Turn back just a few books. Get to Philippians 4. And I'm sorry, Philippians 4, and we'll start it at verse 6. So he's already told us that we should be praying and be thankful for everyone. You should have that in your notes. We have to stop as a church, as the body of believers. Family, we don't pray enough. We do more complaining than we do praying. We do more worrying and stressing out than we do praying. That's why we worried and stressed out, because we're not praying. Our direct connection to God, which we've always had, we underutilize. And then we pray, then we complain, and then we worry about stuff that God has already handled. Because we're not trusting God. And then he tells us in the word time and time again to pray. Philippians 4:6, he says, be careful for nothing. And that word careful in the Greek and the Aramaic is saying troubled. Don't be troubled about anything. Don't be stressed out about anything. Don't be distressed about anything. Let me say it again. He's saying, Paul is speaking to the church at Philippi. He's saying, don't be troubled about anything. Don't be troubled for nothing, or don't be worried about anything. Don't be stressed out. Don't be troubled about anything. Somebody underline that. Somebody's being troubled today. Somebody's being worried today. Somebody's being stressed out. Pause. Hit the pause and start praying and say, God, I cast all my cares upon you because I know that you care for me. Somebody needs to pause right now and cast those cares upon God. You've been carrying stuff around that you weren't even meant to carry. And you're wondering why you're stressed out. And then we know research shows that the stress turns into physical ailments. And because we're not praying, we're not trusting God. We're worrying about stuff we don't have to worry about. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. So make a note of that. Let's pause right there. First Timothy told us to pray for everyone, right? And then here's Philippians is telling us, the word of God is telling us to pray for everything. What's left? Prayer. Pray for everyone and pray for everything. Stop stressing, stop worrying, stop being troubled, and pray and believe God. Leave the details to God. That's what the word tells us in Proverbs, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge God in all your ways and he'll direct your paths. You got to trust God and stop worrying. That's what we have to be thankful for. Look what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, what? With thanksgiving. Don't be troubled. Let's break it down. Stop stressing. Stop worrying. Don't be troubled. Pray for everything and be thankful. Happy Thanksgiving. That's the word of God today on Thanksgiving. Be thankful. Pray for everyone and be thankful. Pray about everything and be thankful. That you have the opportunity to open your heart and empathize and have compassion and forgive. And then you have the privilege of prayer. And then you have the intelligence to intercede. Be thankful this morning, family. I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the mature believers in Christ. And there's so much going on in the world today that we have to be prayerful. And then we have to have an attitude of gratitude. Why? Because God's word says so. And remember, we found out last week in Romans 8:34 that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Make a note, Romans 8:34. through 39, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So our present position, our present condition, our present situation is not an indication of how much God loves us. It has nothing to do with each other. It's mutually exclusive because the scriptures are very clear. Not height, not death, not life, not things present or things to come, nor any creature, nothing shall except trials and tribulations and violence. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. What we're going through. Someone this morning, you think about what you've been through shows that God doesn't love you. That's the furthest thing from the truth. And then someone else is thinking about what they've done. How could God love me and all the things that I've done has nothing to do with how much God loves you. And that's what the scriptures teach. Make a note of it. The enemy wants you to think that God could never love someone like you because of what you've done. And because all these things have happened in your life, some to your fault and some not, that God could never love you. Why would he allow all that to happen in your life? It's nothing further from the truth. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. That's why we're grateful. That's why we're thankful every day. Family, we got to understand that. It's never an indication. We look at the lives of the great heroes of faith that are in the Bible. And that's in Hebrews chapter 11. You can read about the heroes of faith. All of them were flawed. All of them had issues. If you would have met Abraham at the wrong time, you would have said, this is not a godly man. If you would have met Isaac, oh, this is not a godly man. If you would have met Jacob, you would say, oh, no, God could never work with someone like this. If you would have met Rahab, she was a prostitute out on the street, she would have said, no, there's no hope for her. It's furthest thing from the truth. If you would have met David right after he had committed adultery and had a man murdered, you would have said, there's no hope for this guy. See, the enemy tries to tell us that we're the only ones going through something and there's no hope for us. And it's the furthest thing from God's word. That's why the enemy never wants you to read the word of God, because it will liberate you and let you know that there's nothing that will separate you from the love of God. Nothing you could do that could be so bad that God couldn't say that he loves you. Nothing you can do. You couldn't go out far enough where God couldn't reach you and bring you back home. We would have met the Apostle Paul when he was killing Christians and feeding them to the beast and the lions in the Romans Colosseum. We would have said, there's no hope for this guy. And he wants you to make you think that you've done something so egregious and so horrible that God could never love you. It's the furthest thing from the truth. We have so much to be thankful for. That if you're under the sound of my voice, that God has given you a second chance and a third and a fourth. And God loves you. And God's arms are always open. That's why we wake up grateful and thankful every morning. Philippians 4:6, it says, stop being troubled, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Take it right to God. I love the word of God. And then he says, look at what he says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. It says, which passes all intelligence, all reason. People are trying to figure out it supersedes the peace of God, the Holy Spirit, the calmness and the quiet and the rest that comes through the Holy Spirit of God. It supersedes all understanding. You can't figure it out. Because it comes from the God of peace, and the peace of God, it comes regardless and despite what we're going through. That's why we pray and be thankful. Says, let your request be made known unto God. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Make a note that the word keep, it means to guard. See, we need the peace of God. We need prayer because it has to guard our heart, which is our emotions, our feelings, our appetites. They need to be guarded by God's peace. And then our mind is our intelligence and our thoughts. They need to be guarded by the peace of God. Why? Because when we don't give it to God, then we start to worry and then we start to be troubled. So the peace of God has to set up that barrier And that's where the prayer comes in and the thankfulness comes in. And it's a daily routine, not a ritual, not tradition, but it's God, I need you. Otherwise, I'll worry about stuff that you already worked out. Otherwise, I'll stress out about people and things that's of none of my concern. It says the peace of God will guard. It needs to guard our emotions, our feelings, and our intellect, because your intellect, your mind will make you think that you need to do something more where God has already handled it. That's why we need the peace of God to guard our mind. And then it goes on in verse 8 and tells us how to think, what to meditate on. Because we have to think about something and the mind wanders off, but then you bring it back in. The Word of God tells us how to reel it in. It's not a brainwashing, although we all could use a brainwashing. With all the garbage that we grew up in and the conditioning, all the bad and horrible stuff that we've seen and done and participated in and was spoken into our life, we could use a brainwashing by the Word of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, finally, brethren, verse 8, whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these, meditate on these things. Be grateful, be thankful, be praying, and meditate on the goodness of God. The good things that can happen. Stop being troubled by the what ifs. Research shows 90% of the stuff we worry about never happens. We're all in bondage, thinking about and fear, paralyzed, can't move forward because of what might happen. And God said, why are you thinking on that? Think on the things that are just and true and honest and pure and lovely. A good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, meditate on these things. See, we're doing and thinking about stuff we shouldn't even, we're doing stuff we shouldn't even be thinking about doing. We're worried about stuff which shouldn't have even entered our mind. And then Paul makes it clear. Now he gets to the action of it in verse 9. He said, those things which you have both learned, all these are verbs which mean they're action. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Practice living for God. Practice trusting God every day. Practice praying every day. Practice being grateful every day. How do you practice being grateful? When you have the opportunity to be negative, be positive. When you have the opportunity to say something stupid, keep your mouth closed and say something that's uplifting. That's how you practice every day. Practice every day being grateful. Start by when you wake up, Lord, thank you for waking me up. God, give me your wisdom. God, give me a grateful heart today. Paul said, do the things that you've seen me do. And then look what he says. And he says, and then the God of peace. It's a difference. Remember, he talked about the peace of God that guards us, which is the Holy Spirit of God, which guards our attitude and our thoughts and our emotions. It needs to be guarded. But he says, when we act in obedience, when we practice the things of God, when we do these things that we've learned and received and heard and seen, when we do them, then the God of peace, which is obedience. So through obedience, the God of peace is with us. Let me say it again. The God of peace is with us through obedience. The peace of God guards our attitude. Ha ha! Make a note of that. Verse 9, those things which you've heard, which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God, the God of peace accompanies us as we walk in obedience. Make a note of that. God, thank you. Comes from being thankful. Comes from being grateful. Let's do one more Thanksgiving and then we will get back to the message and wrap this up if we can. Take a look at Psalms 100. It's the Psalms of Thanksgiving. Psalms 100. It's five very powerful verses. Starts off by saying, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Underline that. As we're representatives, we're ambassadors for Christ. You got to serve. It's an attitude. I can't tell you. I've been in church. I've been in ministry for over 3 decades. And it amazes me how some people serve God, is my former mentor and doctor and pastor, Dr. Billy, would say, people serve God as if they've been baptized in pickle juice. It's in direct contradiction to the scripture. They're complaining about where people want to sit. They're complaining about this. They're complaining about that. And I'm talking leadership positions. The scripture says we serve the Lord with gladness. We don't serve other people. We serve the Lord. We serve the Lord by serving other people. See, that's the problem. We've been focused on people too long. And we get it all twisted. And remember, our problem isn't with people. Our problem's with God. Because God says, serve the Lord with gladness. And you can only serve God by serving others. He said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So as you serve your wife, you serve your kids, you serve your neighbors, you serve your community, you serve your coworkers, you serve your boss, you serve them as if you're serving unto God, and you serve the Lord with gladness. That's the problem. We don't want to do what God tells us to do, and then we make people the issue, where the issue is really me, because I refuse to serve the Lord with gladness, because I refuse to serve other people with gladness, because they get on my nerves, as if I didn't get on God's nerve when I was out there in sin, as if I haven't been forgiven for so much. That's why I can serve the Lord with gladness. Your problem's not with your spouse. It's with you, because you won't serve the Lord with gladness. You won't submit one to another. You won't love your wife as you love the church. You won't honor and respect your husband as Sarah respected Abraham, calling him Lord. You refuse to follow the scriptures. The problem isn't with people. Your problem's with God. God says, serve him with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. It's an attitude of gratitude. Verse 3, know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. God created us. People create false gods all the time. But God has created us. Make no mistake. The scriptures are clear. We didn't make God. The true and living God made everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. God made everything, including us. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the people that he's taking care of. We got to understand who we are with God. Now, people create false gods in their mind and make money and other things their God, and things and people and feelings. They make it their God. But that's man-made, and all that stuff fades away. But the true and living God shall never fade away. God's word will never fade away. It's guaranteed by God. Psalms 119, 160. The word of God is guaranteed by God. God's made us. We are his people. Those of us that accepted and received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And because we've done that, then we do have the capacity through the Holy Spirit in us to serve the Lord with gladness. Thank you, Lord, that we can serve you with gladness. We can rejoice as we serve you. We can be thankful. We can be happy. We can be blessed as we serve you by serving others. We serve God, make a note, we serve God by serving others. They asked Jesus, they said, Jesus, we're competing to see who's the greatest. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, then become a servant. If you want to be a chief, then become a minister, which is a servant. If you want to be elevated high, then start serving people. You should be serving people in your house. Where do you start? You start right in your house. Serving your family, serving your kids, serving your parents, serving your spouse with an attitude of gratitude, serving your siblings. You don't have to go that far. Let's not overcomplicate this thing. It's deep, but it's not complicated. Why are we making this complicated? You don't have to go way over to a third world country and start serving and think you're doing the work of God. Start serving the people in your house with an attitude of gratitude and watch your home change. Watch everything in your house change. Watch your life change. Watch your heart change. That's where you start, and you start right now. You start today. And then Paul said, those things you both learned and heard and seen and received of me, do. And then you practice them daily. It's not like you serve and then you say, that's enough. I'm tired of these folks. You serve and you serve and you serve until we transition. Jesus said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Start practicing. Make a note. Start practicing in your own home. Somebody needs a glass of water, get it. Somebody needs you to do that, do it. You're serving. We serve God. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's no separation. You can't say, Lord, I serve you. The scriptures are clear. If you say you love God whom you've never seen and you hate the people that you see every day, it doesn't work like that. The scriptures are very, very clear in 1 John. We practice serving God by serving others. And what happens when you practice? You get good at it. You don't give up after a month. And it's not you getting punked or you getting taken advantage of. It's you're doing the will of God. And that's the problem. You don't understand. The scriptures are the power of God, how God changes and transforms things. You think you're getting punked. You think your wife is taking advantage of you. You think your husband is punking you. You know, I'm not your mate. I'm not this. I'm not that. You think you're getting punked. You got the wrong attitude. Serve the Lord with gladness. Let God work out the details. Watch God transform your heart and your home through service. And you do it with the right attitude. And it's something you make a lifelong commitment to do. It's a lifelong journey. Just like anything else we're trying to change. You don't go to the gym for 2 months and say, man, it doesn't work. It never will. You don't try and exercise for 2 weeks and say, that doesn't work for me. It never will. You don't try and eat right for the week before Thanksgiving so you can overdo it at Thanksgiving and say nothing changes. It never will. It's consistency. It's practice. Make a note, we are practicing Christians. You're trying to be a Christian in theory only. You're trying to be a Christian in your own head. It has to be transferred to some type of practice. That's what Paul said. The things you've learned and seen and heard of me, do, and the God of peace will accompany you. God will give you the strength to do it. You and I, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We don't understand the scriptures. We're way off, as Jesus told them in Matthew 22:29. We're way off. Because we don't understand the scriptures are the power of God. And we've been influenced by this culture. And it's telling us everything is contrary to the word of God. And we don't read the word, so we don't know what God is speaking. Let's finish the scripture. Look at verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. There we go again. Make a note, we serve him with gladness and we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless the name of God. Underline that, put a star by it. Enter the presence of God with thanksgiving. And this is David writing the Psalms right here. And Paul already told us that we're to pray and to be thankful. See, when we come to God in prayer, we're thankful. We're grateful. Why? Because we have an open heart. God's opened the opportunity of our heart so we can empathize, sympathize, have compassion, be able to forgive and pray for those that have wronged us. You can't do that without God. So I'm so thankful that God has allowed me to do that. Then the privilege to pray for someone. Do you know? See, we don't even understand the privilege that it is to pray for someone. Because we want to be upset and want to be mad and point the finger and say what they've done to us. And then we got to be thankful that we have the intelligence to intercede, to have the mind of Christ, to want to intercede for someone. Family, there's a lot going on today. If you're like me, you've lost friends and loved ones throughout this year. I mean, whether from COVID or just because that's what happens, that people die. And then people call and say, can you pray for me? That's a privilege. Hey, man, pray for my family. We're having a service for my mom today. Pray for this. My younger brother passed away. Can you pray? Can you? It's a privilege to pray. We have the mind of Christ, the intelligence to intercede. And then because we've underestimated prayer so long, we'll say, yeah, but we won't do it. We got to practice daily and do it right then when someone asks you. Don't wait, just pause. You can pray with them, but you don't have to, but you start praying right then. So when they ask you, hey, I appreciate you praying for me, you don't have to go, oh, I forgot. You say, absolutely, I did. Because you're doing it right now. Family, we've underestimated prayer too long. And here is he saying, let me read it again. Here's what the scriptures are saying. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter and into his courts with praise. And all that represents is the presence of God. Be thankful. Praise. Praise meaning to celebrate, to cherish, to adore, to commend, to rave about God, to salute God. So when you come to God, you're thanking God, you're congratulating God because he's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of God. I'm coming to you and I'm celebrating you. I'm being thankful and I'm celebrating you. I'm praising you. I'm worshiping you. Your name, underline, it says bless his name, which means to salute and lift up his name. The name means his reputation, his character, his position. Celebrate God's position. He's the King of Kings. He's God. His reputation. God's never failed us. The character of God. God loves us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. You celebrate those things and then you come into his presence grateful and thankful and leave the details to God. That's our job. 2 Chronicles 7:14. The if is on us. What do we do now? God says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. We have a problem humbling ourselves. We won't humble ourselves and pray. We just it's got to be about us. And please don't ruin another Thanksgiving gathering because you show up in your Jeep. And you know, I break that down. The Jeep is two types of Jeeps, the J-E-E-P. You show up to the Thanksgiving gathering in your Jeep, which is your jealousy, your envy, your ego, and your pride, and it ruins everything. Please don't show up to the gathering in your Jeep. Or you show up in your other Jeep, the G-E-A-P, which is your greed, your ego, your arrogance, and your pride, and it ruins it. Please do not, in the name of Jesus, humble yourselves and pray. Please do not show up to the Thanksgiving gathering in your Jeep. And ruin everything again and then want to blame other people, but it's on you. You're the believer. You're the one that goes to church. You're the one that's refusing to humble yourself and pray. It says, and turn from our wicked ways. Humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, turn from our wicked ways. And then God will hear, forgive sins, and heal the land. We're praying. We should be praying every day. We should be praying and fasting every day, every morning, that God would heal this land. He said, it's on my people. If my people, which are called by my name, not the world. We're trying to trust in a politician or a vaccine. God says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, which we refuse to do, then will I hear. Forgive sins and heal the land. And that's God's word. Psalms 119:160, guaranteed by God. And we underestimate prayer. We underestimate humility. We won't humble ourselves and pray. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always about them. And it's never about me humbling myself. And as a result, I can't enter his courts with thanksgiving. I can't enter his gates with thanksgiving. I can't enter his courts with praise. I can't bless his name because I'm so busy, stressed out, and pointing the finger at other people. Look at verse 5. For the Lord is good. Underline that. God is good. Underline that. Make sure you understand. We break down good in the Hebrew. at this. For the Lord, the existing one, is good. Good being in the Hebrew, so many words, it's amazing. Pleasant, God is pleasant, excellent, kind, better, fair, gracious, loving, sweet, agreeable, happy, and right. The Lord is good. The Lord is pleasant, excellent, kind, better, fair, gracious, loving, sweet, agreeable, happy, and right. The Lord is good. Wow. We can stop right there. Happy Thanksgiving. If you don't have anything else to be thankful for, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, then you understand that the Holy Spirit and God living inside of you is good. That's why we have to give the Holy Spirit control and not the flesh, because the flesh is not good, but God is good. Don't let other people tell you about your God. If God was good, why would this happen? Well, you don't understand. You're sadly mistaken, because you don't understand the scriptures are the power of God. Don't try and tell me about my God and you've never read the word of God that describes my God. People are biblically illiterate and trying to tell you about your God. And you need to lovingly tell them you're way off track and it's because you don't understand the scriptures are the power of God. Tell them in a loving way. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Mercy means his kindness. His kindness is everlasting, which means it's without end. And his truth endures to all generations. God is good. His kindness never ends. His guarantee, which is his truth, is everlasting. And it endures. It never stops. And to all generations forevermore, which includes us. God's guarantee includes us. That's something to be thankful for. God, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you. Now let's go back to 1 Timothy 2 and 1. So much to be thankful for. So grateful, so thankful. Understand the privilege of prayer. The true and living God that we serve. See, now when you understand that, now it's a little bit easier. It's more palatable. It's more understandable that Paul is begging in verse 1, 1 Timothy 2, chapter 1, verse 1, I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. I'm begging you, therefore, that first of all, why? Because God tells us to. Supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings, presidents, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. See, that's why some of you are stressed out. You're not praying. You're so busy talking about leaders and teachers and pastors and parents and presidents and all this and the councilmen. And you're just engulfed and you're just surrounded with a bunch of negativity because your focus is on the wrong things. They say we should be praying. Remember, hear what God has spoken already. We should be praying and being thankful for everyone. And then we should be praying and being thankful for everything. And you can't pray for certain people because of your pride and your arrogance. And I'm talking to the mature Christians now. We got to humble ourselves and we got to pray. We've underestimated prayer too long. It's an urgency to it. So much going on in the world today. We have to discern the deception. And while we're pointing fingers at the different officials and teachers and politicians and all that kind of stuff, the enemy is trying to set us up. And if we're not praying and discerning, we'll miss what God is speaking to us because we're so concerned about the foolishness, the organized, what we call it, the organized system of deception called the world. It looks like it's a bunch of chaos, but it's an organized system of deception, orchestrated by Satan himself. And if we're not praying and fasting, we miss what God is telling us, and God is calling us to pray right now. Church, it is time to step up and follow the word of God. What do we do now? We start praying like never before. Start praying and begging, asking God for wisdom and guidance so the church stays relevant in a culture that's trying to get rid of the church and trying to send us right out and say you're non-essential. The church is non-essential in the world today. God says we need to be praying and asking God for wisdom and guidance on how to move. Listen, let's break it down, family. The end game for God, it says God would desire that all people would be saved, be rescued. That's the end game for God. And that needs to be the end game for the church. Get the message out, praying, fasting. God, who do I minister to? God, who do I connect to? That should be the mission of the church, the same mission that God has. To seek and to save those that are lost, to be light in the midst of a dark world. What's the end game of Satan? It's real simple. Kill, steal, and destroy. So while we're so distracted with people and things and events, Satan, his mission never stops. He doesn't play. You can't play with sin. The mission, the end game is to kill, steal, and destroy. The church, God's people, the world in itself. God's game to rescue, God's end game to rescue and to save those that are lost and get the message out. And here we are, family. He uses us through his Holy Spirit. He uses us to go out. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're a new creation. We're representatives of God. God is using us, and we need to go out praying and being thankful and serving the Lord with gladness. And then we go out. And he says, look in verse 2, he says, you don't discriminate. He's already, verse 1, he says, you pray for everybody. And then verse 2, it gets more specific. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. The word godliness means respect and honor. Two things we can definitely use in our culture today. We've lost respect, and it's not much honorable going on in the world today. Why? Because we're not praying for those in authority. We're pointing fingers. We're choosing sides. It's not a side to choose. Either you're on God's side or Satan's side. It ain't no other side. It's only two people at work, and when you get to the root of it, God's trying to save and Satan's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. Any other side is a foolish side. A side that's going nowhere. You can't choose a side when it's only two sides. You're either serving God or you're serving Satan by default. You don't even choose. You're defaulted to Satan's side. And then you become a part of a mission that's to kill, steal, and destroy the mission of God. So I says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And in verse 3, let's finish with this one today. Verse 3, it says, for this is good. It's good to pray and to be thankful and pray for everyone and pray for everything. It's good. And family, we have to do what's good. It's that narrow, difficult road. Remember, and I'm going to find a way to squeeze this in. I'm going to try every week to squeeze this in. Matthew 5:44, where Jesus says to love your enemies, to bless those that curse you, to do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. Let me say that again. See, this is God's will for us as believers. Love our enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you. Family, it's not my words. It's directly from Jesus, his Sermon on the Mount, which is arguably his greatest sermon. We want to forget that part. And he says, when we follow the word of God, let's finish with verse 3. For this is good and acceptable. Good. Let me tell you what good means in the Greek. It means beautiful. When we pray for everyone, and we pray and thank, when we pray and thank God for everyone, and when we pray and thank God for everything, it's good, which means it's beautiful. It's excellent. It's honorable. It's approved. It's admirable. And it's commendable. And then acceptable means it's agreeable and we're in agreement with God. I don't know about you, but I want to do what's good. Look what it says. For this is good. For this is good and acceptable. Underline this. In the sight of God, our Savior. Underline that. In the sight of God, our Savior. And if you don't understand that you need to draw the line in the sand and do what's good that's in the sight of God, our Savior, then you got a lot of maturing to do. In the book of Judges, chapter 21 and verse 25, says, in those days there were no king and the people did what was right in their own eyes. It was a big mess. See, we have the King of Kings now. They didn't have any king. They did what was right in their own eyes. God is telling us, you have the King of Kings, and for us as mature disciples, followers, practicing Christians, our goal has to be, even when we miss the mark, amen? That's when we confess our sins and run back to God. We never run from God. Even when we miss the mark, when we sin, when we fall short, we got to get back up and as Brother Peck would say, do the next right thing. We run right back to God. We do what's right in the sight of God. Underline that. That is so important. We have to do what's right, praying for everyone and being thankful. Praying for everything and being thankful. Stop being troubled. Stop being worried. Stop complaining. Stop pointing fingers. That's what's good and agreeable. It's beautiful. It's excellent. Excellent. It's admirable. It's commendable. In the sight of God, that has to be our measuring stick. God, is this beautiful? Is this acceptable and good in your sight? If it's not, then I can't do it. Praying, giving thanks for everyone. Praying, giving thanks for everything. It's always good in the sight of God. And we'll stop right there. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll pick it up next week. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. As you're calling us to pray and be thankful in the midst of a crazy upside down world, God, we know that you are in control. We know that you are God and there is no other besides you, no true and living God, a lot of fake lowercase g's, but no true and living God. So, Lord, here we are right now. We ask for forgiveness of sins. We ask that you would forgive us for not humbling ourselves and not taking prayer seriously and not running to you. God, forgive us for being distracted by all types of stuff every day. And not praying and not being obedient to your word, God. Forgive us for underestimating the power of prayer. Forgive us, Lord, for being just way off because we don't understand the scriptures or the power of God. But God, light a fire in us this morning that we will take prayer seriously. We'll stand in the gap and we'll practice it daily, Lord. We'll practice serving you with gladness. Serving you and rejoicing, serving you and being happy, serving you and being pleasant, God, in the name of Jesus, serving you by serving others. We don't have to go outside of our own house. We don't have to go far. It's right in front of us. We just have to be obedient and practice what you've called us to do. So, Lord, we love you and we bless you. Thank you for your word. So we celebrate Thanksgiving, God. Let us just be light. Let us be salt. Let us be love. Let us be pleasant. Let us be agreeable. Let us be a servant. Let us serve others. As your word tells us, let us serve them with gladness, Lord, because your word says, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. God, we can't separate the two. We can't say we love you, whom we've never seen, and then we hate our brothers and sisters, who we see every day. Your word says that's a lie, and God's not in us. So give us the courage, Lord, to follow your word and follow your way. Bless your people to hear. Bless your people. God, we thank you for the revelation, God, and we pray that it leads to transformation. And when we are walking around wherever we are, it turns into application that we practice, we do, so the God of peace can accompany us everywhere that we go as we walk in obedience so we can experience the abundant life that you have for us. Thank you for your message today. Bless your people to hear, to receive, and to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, it's so important that you all know we have so much to be thankful for. Every day, if you're still here under the sound of my voice, it's a great day. It's a blessed day. It's a day to be thankful for. Maybe you are invited and you're on Facebook or you're in Zoom or you just happen to be next to someone who's in the house listening and you've said, Pastor, I got a lot of anger. I got a lot of bitterness. I got a lot of questions and had a lot of hate towards people. And God, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior because I just don't understand how God could allow certain things to happen. Well, we've all been there and we've all had those questions. But as we've gotten into the word, we understand that nothing shall separate us from God. We understand that God's not the author of chaos and confusion. That God didn't bring evil into the world. Our free will and being influenced by Satan allowed free will to come into the world. And then we make a choice and people make choices every day to accept or reject Jesus Christ. And that's it. To practice love or to practice hate. To practice humility or to practice pride. You say, Pastor, I just had so many questions, but this morning I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let the Lord come into my heart and take over my life. And I want to practice living for him. It's really simple. It's not complicated. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word also says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, or maybe you want to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, you've just been kind of out there and you realize, got to get back on track. Just repeat this prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for shedding your blood for me, and thank you for resurrecting on that third day. Thank you for the results of the resurrection. Thank you that because you resurrected, I can live a resurrected life as well. Old things can be passed away, and all things have become new in Jesus Christ. So right now, Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can work for you, be led by you, and teach me all the things you have planned for me. Lord, help me to see what you had in mind when you created me. As I tap into you, Lord, please show me that. I receive you now as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving my life. Thank you for changing my life. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for salvation or rededication, please, I'd love to hear from you. Please send an email, life@southbayaoc.com, life@southbayaoc.com. I'd love to send you some information, some scriptures, and just encourage you as you walk and make sure that you're plugged into a Bible teaching ministry so you can learn and grow what the Word of God says, not what the cliches and the half scriptures and the scriptures taken out of context say, but what the Word of God says as it's being researched and being taught and exegeted is what we call it. People have used the Bible for all types of ulterior motives, but the Word of God is all about building life through God, never about tearing down or enslaving or hurting people, only to build. For God sent his Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He demonstrated his love for us. So it's important that you get into a Bible teaching and believing church. It'll transform your life. Speaking of that, Wednesday night Bible study will be in 1 Kings chapter 9. Incredible. God appears to Solomon twice. This is the second time he appears and he talks with him. God speaks. God is speaking today. God spoke this morning through his word. We just have to make sure that we're listening. The Spirit of God is here. He sent this Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to teach us. And it also seals us as a down payment until we're transitioned to be with God. Bible study has been incredible. You can join us Wednesday night, 6:30 to 7:30. It might be a little shorter this week because it's Thanksgiving Eve, but we'll be led by the Spirit of God. And I guarantee your life will be blessed for being with us on Wednesday night. I guarantee it'll be blessed by the Word of God, the prayers of God, the testimonies that come from God. Guaranteed your life will be blessed this Wednesday night if you join us for Bible study. And then again, thank you for your giving. As always, on the laptop, on your phone, or if you're mailing a check in, just thank you so much for your giving. We really appreciate it. It allows us to go all around the world and share Jesus Christ with others in a world that seems to be falling apart. We're showing people how to build their life on the solid rock, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, because the rains and the storm and the winds come to everyone. It all depends on what your foundation is made of. And we're recommending the rock of Jesus Christ and not a sandcastle. Sandcastles look pretty, but they don't last in the midst of a storm. And then for those of you interested in new members, email me, life@southbayalc.com. We will have a new members meeting, and that'll be next Sunday at 2 p.m. It's only for an hour, from 2 to 3. We will have a new members class. That's it. I hope you all have a blessed Thanksgiving. Attend the gathering with an attitude of gratitude. Pray before you go. Pray while you're there. Go there to serve, not to be served. The word says Jesus Christ came to serve, not to be served. And he was the King of Kings. He was the Lord of Lords. He's our example. He came to serve. At your Thanksgiving gathering, go to serve. Be a blessing. And then practice that daily. Serve people on your job. Serve people wherever you are, and watch God not only transform your heart, watch him transform their heart. Let us close in prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for your message, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. God, we want to practice praying for everyone and being thankful for everyone. God, because you've given us a opportunity to have an open heart to forgive and to love and have compassion. You've allowed us the privilege to pray for others, and you've given us the intelligence to intercede. So God, we want to pray for everyone and be thankful for everyone. God, we want to pray for everything and not worry and be thankful for everything. And we want to be obedient to your word, Lord. So give us the strength. We know we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and all things are possible to them that trust in God. So God, help us to practice this daily, praying and fasting and seeking your face, turning from our wicked ways, humbling ourselves so that you can hear, forgive, and heal. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, family. I love you. Looking forward to seeing you Wednesday night. Lord willing, seeing you Wednesday night, and then Lord willing, seeing you next Sunday as we continue our message, the Good Shepherd, ministering to the lost, and prayer. God bless you, and I love you.